Sherry.com.
Karen was born. The doctor said, oh, it's another girl. And Sherry said, a girl? We're done. She never wavered, never changed on that. Now, Adam and Gina in the back, they have four kids, and their fourth was a boy. Adam gives me a hard time about not being able to have boys. I get that, but I can't help it if he wants to take the easy way. So, you know, sorry. And I think the current running total, they're not here today, but I think the current reigning champions for, you know, non-adult kids in our family right now is the Emshoffs, who have five kids, and they said they're done because there's no more room in the minivan. So, you know, there's no way they can do it. So, anyway, eight, that's tough to imagine, though. At the beginning of this Family Matters series, just a couple of things as we get started. Rachel Witten, who's right back there, put together, just raise your hand, Rachel, come on. Bob, raise Rachel's hand. All right, she put together this beautiful family sign. Now, you've seen it each week, and it's been up there, and that's been great, but what you may not know is that pretty much throughout this series, every letter in that sign has fallen at least twice, okay? And some of them three to four times, and we talked last week, and I just said, look, if another letter falls this week, we're not putting it back up, unless it said something really bad up there when letters were missing. So, Faily is kind of what we've got today instead of family. But, you know, here's the thing. I said I'd just find a way to work it in. So here's the deal. It takes a lot of work to keep family together. Right? Amen. Preach it. Let's go home. To the picnic. So you know, it does. It takes a lot of work to keep our family together. And, you know, the hope throughout this series has been that as we have gone through the series, that there's just been some help. Some things that as we've looked at it will help make our family lives better. So throughout the series, we've looked at a number of different godly ideals, ideals that we feel like come from Scripture that God would have in store for us in our family. Well, today is the eighth week in our series. It's going to be the final week in our series. Those of you who have been around for a while know that famously often our series that start out as 4 weeks end up as seven, and series that start out as 12 weeks end up as a year and a half. So this is our eighth and final week because eight is enough. All right? See what I did there? See how I tied that in? All right. So, but for this last week, something important. I was looking at these godly ideals that we've talked about over the last 7 weeks, and as we've covered them, and even looking at them again this week, I thought, these do not just apply to our family at home. And what a better day than our church picnic to be able to take some time and think about these ideals and these principles and how they apply to us in the family of God. Okay, so that's our focus this morning. Our church, and our church specifically, it's meant to be more than just where you happen to go on Sunday morning for worship, right? We're meant to be a family. And, you know, this is supposed to be a place that we call home. So this morning, we're going to revisit each one of these ideals very, very briefly and just consider how do they relate to the other type of family that we're a part of, the family of God. Okay, so first of all, the first kind of point of our day is that the family of God is about relationship. Okay, it's about relationship. And it's about relationship with Jesus. We understand that, right? Jesus died on the cross and made a way for us to be made right with a perfect and holy God. He's forgiven our sins. And it brings us into the family of God. So that relationship with Jesus is important, but it's also about a relationship with others. So the family of God is about relationship, both with Jesus and with others. And the four of the ideals that we talked about kind of fall under this idea. Okay? So the first one that we talked about was love. Love is one of the godly ideals for our family. In Scripture, husbands are given a specific instruction to love their wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, while that's a specific instruction we talked about given to husbands, most likely because love is something that women deeply desire and maybe something that men are not always so great at giving. So there's a specific instruction, husbands, love your wives. But it's not, love is not exclusive to husbands. They're not the only ones who are supposed to love. We're all called to love one another. And again, the same is true not just within our family at home, but within the family of God. So John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Right? If you have love for one another, they'll know we are followers of Jesus by our love. So of course he doesn't say, they will know you're disciples by your doctrines and your beliefs. Okay? No, those are important. But he says they're going to know you by your love. He doesn't say they will know you are my disciples by your moral convictions. Right? Well, living holy lives is something we should all be striving for, but they're going to know us by our love. He doesn't say they will know you are my disciples by your Christian t-shirt or bumper sticker. Right? He doesn't say they'll know your disciples by your political views or even by your good works. He says they will know my disciples by your love for one another. So as a church, as part of the family of God, we're people who should first and foremost be marked by our love for Jesus and our love for one another. A second ideal that we talked about was respect. Okay, respect. Now again, in Scripture, there's a specific instruction given to wives to respect their husbands. Now, once again, it's probably because it's something that at times can be difficult for women to give, and it's also something that men desire deeply. But it's not, once again, just an exclusive command for only women, right? It's something that all people should be giving to one another and receiving from one another, respect. Again, the same is true in the family of God, just as it is at home. 1 Peter 2:17 says, "Show proper respect to everyone." Show proper respect to everyone. It goes on to say, "Love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor." And it goes on to other instruction. But show proper respect to everyone. Now, the word translated respect in the Greek here, timao, means to honor someone, to value something at a price, to recognize the value or worth of something. Okay, so respect, and we're supposed to respect everyone, and that Greek word translates to everyone, very simply. Okay, so respect everyone. So respect is something we should be sharing, giving, receiving in the family of God. Forgiveness. We talked about forgiveness, and specifically in the context of conflict, right? In any family, there's going to be conflict. The church is no exception. In fact, did you know that even Peter and Paul had a pretty major fight, an argument between them? They had some major issues. Peter, when he came to Antioch, had been eating with the non-Jewish people, the Gentiles. And he would eat their food and he would eat in their homes, and that was not really acceptable according to Jewish tradition and standard. God had kind of wiped out that barrier, but he was doing it. Except for when some friends of James came along, one of the other apostles, and when they came along, he kind of backtracked on this, right? He kind of said, "I'm not going to do that because now these other Jewish people are here, and I don't want to ruffle the waters." And Paul confronted him on that. In fact, it says that he confronted him to his face, right? It was a contradiction of character, and Paul called him out on it. So even in the family of God, even in some of the premier, first founding leaders of the early church, there is conflict. And so life is messy. Church is messy. Family of God is messy. There is no perfect church. I did hear the story of one man who was a bit of a perfectionist, but he was trying to find one church that was perfect. He set out to look for a perfect church where there were no challenges, no mistakes, no troubles, none of that to address. He kept moving from church to church because everyone that he went into, every church he went into, had problems. Then one night he had a dream where he found that perfect church. It had none of those issues or struggles that he had seen in the other churches. He was overjoyed. He rushed right in, right away, to sign up and become a member. But sadly, the church didn't accept him as a member. He was told it was only for perfect people, and he didn't qualify. Right? The moral of the story, if you're looking for a perfect church, good luck. Good luck. The only perfect church would be one with no people in it, and then it wouldn't be a church. Okay? The problem is, the moment that we become part of a church, we bring all of our issues and our struggles and our challenges into that situation. So we're going to affect that. Now, God's grace is bigger than all of that. It's supposed to be. But we are never going to find the perfect church. There are going to be issues. There's going to be conflict. But that's why forgiveness is so important. Right? We all mess up, and we all need forgiveness. Ephesians 4:2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Bearing with one another. And I will say this, it's kind of ironic and sadly funny, I guess, that within the family of God, we find the one thing that we need most, that only Jesus can offer us, we find forgiveness. And yet, when we who have received that forgiveness, who understand how precious and significant it is, sometimes we are the ones who are the most slow to extend it to others. Right? That shouldn't be the case in the family of God. We've been forgiven. We need to extend that forgiveness to others. So forgiveness is one of the godly ideals in the family of God. Then we talked about mutual submission, which sounds like a weird phrase, mutual submission. But it comes from the scripture in Ephesians 5:21, which just simply says, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Now, interestingly, for those who may not be familiar with, you know those passages we talked about husbands loving their wives and wives respecting their husbands that often become a big issue for us in the church and whether we want to believe that or buy that or not. This verse comes before both of them. And it says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Right? We're supposed to be submitting to one another, giving our very self for the sake of the best interest of others. Okay? And when we talked about this idea of mutual submission, there was this question that we asked, that we said, this could be a game changer in our families. Now, can anybody remember what that question was? I'm going to put you guys on the spot. It was a number of weeks ago. So anybody, one big question that we can ask of each other. Yes, how can I help, or what can I do to help? What can I do to help? Think about that question. Asking that question of someone is offering all of who you are for someone else's benefit. What can I do to help? When it comes to the family of God, we should be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, mutual submission. We could be asking each other that same question, what can I do to help? So four things that we've touched on so far, love, respect, forgiveness, and mutual submission, all are part of godly ideals, all are godly ideals that should be a part of the family of God. And they all fit rather nicely under one bigger ideal. It's this idea of genuine connection. Genuine connection. Right? We've talked, and we've talked about this in our series as well. I will say this: a number of weeks ago, I was talking with Bob, and you know, we were just talking about different aspects of church and family and that sort of thing. And one thing that he shared with me is he said, you know, sometimes we're always in the mode. We gather together. We do worship. We hear messages. We're in that mode. He's like, but you know, one of the things that we just long for is that this can be a place where if I'm struggling with something or I'm battling with something or I'm dealing with something, that I can come and be able to share that with people around me, that there would be people who just say, hey, let me pray for you. let me help you out here. Let me see what I can do. You know, like family should. And it was just a really brief conversation, but that really stuck with me. Because the desire is for genuine connection, something that goes below the surface of things, that really helps us to connect with one another. In the family of God, we should be striving for genuine connection and authentic relationships. Right? People don't want a church that's friendly. Okay, let me rephrase that. We all want a church that's friendly, but we don't just want a church that's friendly. Every church is friendly when you walk in the door. If not, then you might want to walk out of the door. But most churches you walk into are friendly. People aren't looking for friendly, they're looking for friends. Right? Genuine connection, authentic relationship. Okay, so that's an important ideal, and we have a chance to work on that today as we spend time together and get to know one another as we spend time at this church picnic. So more about that a little later. All right, so the first five things are really about genuine connection and relationship. But the family of God, next point in your notes if you're following along, the family of God, it's not just about relationship. We also have a mission. We also have a mission. Of course, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. In other words, bringing them into association with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey or observe all I have commanded you in growing in the faith. Right? It's about reaching out to people and growing in our faith. Now, within this mission, there were three godly ideals that I think do fit underneath this as well. And again, briefly on these, one of them was service, or serving others. We're called to serve the Lord. We do that, we serve the Lord, by serving others, the people around us, and we do it in His name. Okay, we're called to use our gifts to build up the body and to impact others for the sake of Christ. Now, we're all each going to do that in different ways, but because we're all a little bit different, there's another godly ideal that's important, cooperation. Cooperation. And this kind of came into play as we talked about the relationship between, say, children and parents. That the Scriptures say, first of all, children, you're supposed to obey your parents. Right? Their job, their task is to raise you up and help you be the kind of person God wants you to be. So children are supposed to obey their parents. Parents don't want to fight and argue and try and force the issue on you, so children, obey your parents. Now, on the other hand, Scripture says right afterwards, fathers, and by extension parents, don't exasperate your kids. Right? They're not going to be perfect. They're not going to get everything right the first time. They're not going to do it right the first time every time. So make sure your expectations are realistic. Kids are going to mess up. It's a time for learning. Right? So children obey your parents, but parents don't exasperate your kids. They fit together pretty well. Cooperation. When both are operating the way God intended, something great's going to happen. Well, same thing in the family of God. Right? We aren't all gifted in the same way. We aren't all at the same maturity level. Some of us have been following Jesus for a long time. Some of us have just been following Him a short time. Some people are, just flying in their understanding and knowledge of who He is. Some people are early on the journey. But there's a cooperation that should take place, that we can be operating together as God intended within the family of God. There's also a need for the third thing, which is unity. Unity. God wants us to be united and living in harmony with one another, and there's a reason for that. It's because the goal or purpose of unity is to bring glory to God. Okay, so service, cooperation, and unity. Here's a passage from Scripture, 1 Corinthians, that you may be familiar with, but it's a beautiful picture, a beautiful illustration of this. And so here's the text. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit an utterance of wisdom, and another an utterance of knowledge according to that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the works of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these different gifts. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For the just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker and indispensable, and on the parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our presentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which are more composed in the which our more presentable parts do not require. But God so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Right, look, if we're gifted in leadership, we need to lead. If we're gifted in teaching, we need to teach others the Word of God. If we're gifted in administrative-y things, you know, the stuff I have no idea how to do, you're supposed to do that. Those who are mature in Christ need to be investing in others to help them mature and grow up spiritually. Those gifted with encouragement or compassion or mercy or empathy need to be involved in people's lives, helping build them up. Now, these are just a few examples, but I think you get the idea, right? We should be serving the Lord by serving others in His name. We should be working in cooperation with each other and striving for unity. All members of the same body. So service, cooperation, and unity in the family of God is going to accomplish great things and bring Jesus glory. So relationship and mission, both are part of the picture. Now, one other thing that we talked about throughout this series that I do think is important as we close up, and we're going to end with some worship in just a moment, but we talked a bit 1 week about priorities, with the kind of priorities that we should have, putting first things first. In the family of God, our first priority is supposed to be Jesus. Right? It's supposed to be Jesus. He himself said we should seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Right? So we've talked about what we talked about a couple weeks ago, and we're getting a lot of mileage out of this analogy, and we're not going to redo it, but you'll get the idea. We've talked about how oftentimes we fill our lives with things that are very trivial, and those take up a majority of what we do, and those often come first. And then maybe there are some significant things that we do, but sometimes the biggest pieces of life, the things that we should be most focused on, don't have room in the jar of life. We can't fit them in. Main reason why is because we didn't put them first. By comparison, the same jar, you can't even see those rocks like these in the bottom. The reason you can't see them is because they went in first. We let the rest of life fill up around it. We can't be people whose priorities are out of whack. God calls us to seek the kingdom of God first and foremost, to put the first rocks in first, putting first thing first. That's what priorities are about, putting first things first. And so we encourage you to do that. I encourage you to do that. Now, we're going to close in worship here, and actually, if the team wants to come up, they can come at this time. But the first song in this worship set talks about things that we believe. Right? They're part of that big priority, that big rocks that we ought to have in our life. Things that we believe. And the words for this song, our Father everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus the Savior. You're our judge and our defender, and you suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Right? We believe that about Jesus. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious life and forever seated high. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. I believe in the name of Jesus. He is supposed to be our greatest priority. If we believe in Jesus, then our two priorities in the family of God are relationship and mission, right? Like we've talked about today, relationship and mission. We're called into a unique relationship through Jesus. We're called into the family of God. We're chosen by God to become sons and daughters and heirs of the promise of eternity in heaven. And we've been given a mission to be ambassadors and witnesses of the hope of Jesus Christ, who came to seek and save the lost, those who were separated from him. So as we worship, as we sing, this song, let's not let it just be about things we believe in our minds or maybe even believe in our hearts, but let it be our prayer that these things we believe, this relationship, this mission that we've talked about this morning, would be something we live out in the world. Let's stand together. We're going to pray and we're going to enter into this time of worship. Lord God, you have incredible desires and designs for us in our families at home. You desire for them to be not just good or great, but holy. You desire us to be godly families. We ask you to help us do that, to pursue the ideals, the things that you say are most important, like many of the things we talked about today. Help us to pursue that with all of who we are. And yet here, as we gather as a church, as the family of God, we pray that these things would take root in us as well. Love and respect, submission to one another, forgiveness, that we would have genuine connection with one another. That we would be serving, cooperating, and dwelling in unity as we live out the mission you've called us to. And that our priority would be you. Lord God, as we sing this song in this moment, again, as we said, help it to be our prayer. Not just that it would be something we believe in our heads or even in our hearts, but that it would be something we live out to the world around us. Show them the truth of who you are. We pray this and lift up these words of worship and praise to you over the next few minutes. We lift it up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.